Good afternoon. My name is Tasleem Van Hattem, and I'm with the Louisiana Public Health Institute, and I currently oversee the maternal and child health portfolio for that organization. Myself and my colleague James Graham, we're going to do this presentation today, and James is not here, but hopefully I can still do it as much justice. But the presentation today is really on social innovation, business principles, and utilizing public health to address healthy school food in New Orleans public schools. I have no relationships to disclose. So as you'll see from spending the next 3 days here, our food is delicious, and it shows in our childhood obesity rates. Currently, our rates of childhood obesity are at about 21% for school-aged children, elementary school, and then around 15% for adolescents. So we have an exceptionally high rate. And in New Orleans, about 82% of all public school students qualify for free or reduced lunch. And the majority of our schools actually have universal breakfast and lunch, which provides a really unique opportunity to start thinking about the ways in which we want to address childhood obesity and school food and potentially positively affect food consumption patterns and healthy eating behaviors in New Orleans public school students. So in 2011, Propeller, which is a pretty unique organization that is a nonprofit that is based on social entrepreneurship, opened up a fellows program. And so folks that had really interesting socially innovative ideas could propose it to this social innovation incubator in order to become a fellow, and they would help bring that innovative idea to scale. So in 2011, James Graham, who is the colleague that is not here, proposed to them a healthy school food collaborative. James is the director of the Healthy School Food Collaborative, but he is also the head of business and contracts with KIPP New Orleans. And for many of you, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the KIPP schools. It's a charter organization that is a charter organization, but it's also a model that's spread throughout the United States. So almost every community in this country that has any form of charter school also has a KIPP school. So James's idea was to also be an expert that really interfaced between schools to negotiate and solve contractual issues related to school food. So the way that this was done was coming up with a new idea, and that was to develop a unique school food authority in New Orleans. That school food authority would sit underneath KIPP New Orleans, which is a charter management organization, and it would create an autonomous contracting initiative with charter schools throughout the city. So what is a school food authority, right? So school food authorities are those independent nonprofit organizations, and they're approved and insured by the states that they function in. They are the contracting body between the USDA and schools, right? And so they apply to the USDA and are the authority that provides the food to schools, right? So there are multiple steps for forming a school food authority. In this case, it really took identifying a charter school to take on the responsibility of becoming a school food authority, incentivizing the network, so incentivizing this charter organization to become a school food authority, identifying other schools that were interested in selecting their own vendor, contracting with schools and vendors, and then ongoing monitoring. So how is this different, right? So every single school in the United States that provides school ultimately is attached to a school food authority, and that school food authority is ultimately attached to the USDA, right? So the way that this is really different and unique is that this was a charter network-based SFA that other charter schools independently contracted underneath. So individual schools, despite being under an SFA, under this one, could choose their own vendor that is not dependent on the SFA. Vendors could bid for one school as opposed to a whole district. This SFA had new nutritional standards and ongoing monitoring. So in order to understand this, I think there's a need to understand New Orleans public schools. And so in New Orleans, we currently have what's known as two school districts. And most people from different communities will really understand this. So in traditional communities, the district is the school food authority, right? And the district applies for all of their students up to the USDA, and they're the contractor that provides schools for every school within their district. In New Orleans post-Katrina, we have two different districts. We actually have the Orleans Parish School Board, which is one district, and then we have the Recovery School District. Underneath the Recovery School District, every single one of these schools is an independent charter, right? So we are now at an almost 99% charter management organization run school city. So there were only two SFAs, and that means that what the recovery district chooses for school underneath them, every single school in these rows would have to go with that same vendor based on the fact that that is the one vendor their district chose. This traditionally means that in most communities in the United States, there are two or three major companies that become the school food provider for an entire community or an entire district. So what this new program did was, through the Healthy School Food Collaborative, applied up to the USDA through KIPP New Orleans to become its own SFA. And then what it did was it contracted with other schools that were under the Recovery School District that were independent charters to be contracted under the new School Food Authority. So why do this, right? So why move out of a traditional district model, right? And that's creating more options by diversifying the vendor pool through corporate recruitment, which also, you know, this is the very business model of it, but it also allows for diversity and growth of local economy. So previously, the biggest companies in our community have been Sodexo and Aramark. Then there's now Chartwell, Sodexo, Aramark, Revolution Foods. So it allowed for a diversity of vendors. But what it also allows for is that companies can apply to bid for one school or for 30 schools. And that drastically changes the school food environment. So the first company that we're not presenting on today here that did this was actually a local catering company. They said, we want one high school, and we will provide school for that one high school, which drastically changes the way we start thinking about who provides school food. So the other reason why this creates an alternative, right, is the ability to raise nutritional standards beyond USDA standards that vendors must meet competitively. Autonomy as a charter school to select what works for your students and your school in vendor choice, accountability of those vendors, and a less complicated funding passed down through the child nutrition program. So it solidifies the competitive advantage by offering vendors to schools that meet school food standards that are above that of USDA, right? So certain components within the Healthy School Food Collaborative exceed the new USDA standards. For example, the percentage of locally procured items was heightened between 5% and 30%. So that's really forcing local our school food vendors to actually source locally. Forbidding the replacement of fruit with juice, no chocolate milk. But then really is realizing ultimately also that autonomy alone does not address obesity, right? So just because a school can pick their own vendor, it doesn't necessarily mean that this will single-handedly affect what their students eat and how they eat it. So really looking at compliance and monitoring, which, so this program is really unique in that it's utilized methods of really continuous quality improvement to identify issues and measures throughout. My colleagues here will go into that in multiple different sections and multiple methods that were used. So the other thing that was really unique about this in terms of contracting are really producing mutually beneficial relationships with public and private sector companies to increase capacity to serve students, right? So there's the offering of different areas of expertise. The folks that came to the table within this were both folks from the local public health institute, or Louisiana Public Health Institute, where we are all colleagues, The Healthy School Food Collaborative, which is made of, like I said, a social innovation incubator, as well as folks within charter management organizations and within the school districts, and then commercial vendors. We also recognize that part of this program was to increase the nutritional content of school food and to allow vendor choice without scapegoating vendors and making them leave town. We are federally mandated to provide school lunches to 55,000 students in this region. We do not want to hold a vendor to such impossible standards that we cannot provide food on the day-to-day for the 55,000 students that actually need a free or reduced lunch, but also working with them on continuous quality improvement. And then inclusion of partners from various sectors. So currently, the Healthy School Food Collaborative, now that this is, we're going into the third year of this new school food authority, serves healthy breakfast, lunch, snacks, and supper to 39% of all public schools in New Orleans. There are 46 member schools in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, and approximately 15,000 students are being reached. And it currently administers about $6.5 million in federal reimbursements. So why doesn't everyone do this? So we recognize that we have a very unique situation in that almost our entire school community here has been chartered. On the other hand, we also, and that allows us to have a little bit more autonomy. On the other hand, we also recognize that there are many communities throughout the United States where that is an ongoing trend as well. So it's not necessarily a practice in many centralized districts across the United States. It may not be allowed in certain districts, and that's probably not an official allowed, but that's why I made sure to put it there. There might just be many districts throughout the United States where it's not traditional for any individual school to become their own school food authority. Not all schools feel like they need autonomy from their district. What we really found in New Orleans was that, you know, we had, you know, almost every single charter management organization had full autonomy in everything they did, you know, when it came to business and finance and the way they ran their school, except for this one thing, which was school lunch, and that was still defined by a district. And so, like, really wanting to achieve that full autonomy to be able to choose what they served their kids on a daily basis was very important. Heavy bureaucracy and reporting requirements are often too much for single schools who don't have district infrastructure. This SFA is required to report everything up to USDA as well as be the funding pass-through from USDA. So all reporting requirements to the USDA are upon that school food authority. There's responsibility and liability based on that. And then I think many schools and folks don't necessarily have the privilege of having a little bit of incentivized startup funding that we had, as well as the know-how and support to get a program like this started. So I went through that really quickly, but I wanted to let folks know that this was the contributing team. We actually had a really amazing team of researchers, and to thank our funders for this.